Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Okay, welcome to New Life Live. This is Larry Sonnenberg. I'm sitting in for Steve.
And we love it when you do.
Well, thank you. I can't hear a thing. Okay, here we go. I wanted to, first off, thank you for being here, Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Yes.
Good to see you.
Glad to be here.
Good to see you back.
Yeah.
Dr. Dave Stoop, too.
And here again.
Two of the tritest and truest people on the program. So, glad to be with you.
Thanks.
I wanted to just let people know and remind people that we are going to have a life recovery conference right here in Orange County, and that is coming up October 8th,
Yay.
And it's going to be at Mariners.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Okay.
And you know that
church. I do, and yeah. Lots of people who need to go to this.
And I want to tell you who the speakers are. There's several from New Life, and there's a couple others. We have Steve's going to speak, Dr. Dave Stoop.
Yay.
Becky Brown is going to speak. She's the director of our counselor network. Chris Good. Williams, you all know Chris. From Mariners, Jack West, he's the Cure and Recovery pastor there. And then there's an author and speaker, Amanda Anderson. She's the author of Heart and Training. And so she'll share her story of recovery.
Good lineup.
She's a dynamic young lady.
Oh, good.
Speaker, and she'll be outstanding.
And the questions addressed, if you're not sure if you should go, and these questions ever come to your mind, then you ought to come. What is recovery? Who does it help? Do I need recovery if I don't struggle with addiction? How can I help someone with depression? Why has the use of opioids become an epidemic? Why is forgiveness essential to recovery? How does one overcome a victim mentality? What is emotional deafness? What does it take to start and run a life recovery group? How can I create a recovery culture in my church? And there's more than
tons
that.
Tons more, yeah.
But that will get you going.
But that really does show, Larry, that it goes beyond just people struggling with
addiction.
A specific addiction,
right?
Right. That we all have things that we need to recover from.
Yes.
And that the recovery
from
process.
Life.
Well, I know life is hard, huh?
Well,
it is.
And as you investigate, you know, the 12 steps is so associated with recovery from addiction and such. But if you look and read through those steps, that's just what the Christian people of
it's old a life
would
plan.
Call sanctification.
Discipleship.
Right. It's a life plan.
Yeah. And we have an early bird price before September 16th. $79 is the early bird price. Call 800-NEW-LIFE and sign up today. You don't want to miss that. It's a one-day workshop.
It's
not a workshop, a conference.
It's an overload of information because we go from one speaker to the next. And in no small groups, all in a large group. And
yes.
It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. And I want to just do a little bit of a plug for Every Man's Battle. That is starting Friday this week right here in Orange County. And that's a workshop that we usually get a lot of last-minute sign-ups. So, guys, if you haven't signed up, or ladies, if you know your husband or friend or brother or somebody needs it, it's not too late. Don't be shy to give us a call right now and get signed up for Every Man's Battle. There are things in that workshop that every man needs to hear. I often wish we had a workshop that it was not associated with sexual addiction so the men could
get I out think of that what it so is. Many men would get something
oh,
out
my
of
goodness.
Call it being a man in a woman's world.
Yeah.
Okay, moving right along.
That's a new one.
Yeah, so give us a call, 800 New Life. We also could use your financial support. We'll talk about that a little later. but we're going to be here and answer your calls right after the break here. And our number here is 1-800-229-3000. Give us a call, and Dave and Jill will answer your questions.
Yes, we will.
We'll be back right after this.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opioid addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. Just before we go to the calls, I want you to know that today is the last day for the month of July. And it's the not ever.
It's the last day of July.
And our thank you gift this month is a DVD. It has 12 videos on it from the Club New Life Video Library. If you are not a Club New Life member, this is your last chance to get a glimpse of what those videos are like. We hope you'll like them. We hope you might even consider joining Club New Life after you see them. But there's videos on there such from people like Mylan and Kay Yurkovich. They do a thing on the comfort circle. Steve does something on challenges to intimacy. Chris Williams does something on principles of addiction. Sherry Keffer on the brain. Alice Benton on what to do with conflict. Dave does one when someone you love is addicted. There's more. Shelley Martinkus does one on protecting your children from exposure to porn. A lot of good stuff on that. So make a gift of any amount. Call us 800-NEW-LIFE and that'll be on the way to you. So let's go. Let's talk to Fred. Fred's calling from Omaha, Nebraska. Fred, how are you doing today?
Good.
Sounds like you're out in the wind.
Well, I'm in my car, actually.
Okay. Well,
okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we're okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, talking about, I heard addiction on the radio, and a lot of people don't realize this, but smoking is an addiction to nicotine.
Oh, yes.
And it's a horrible, terrible thing. And my question is just try to make it concise, if I can. I've been going out with a very nice young lady for well over a year and a half, and she told me about a month into our dating that, hey, I smoke and I want to be upfront with you, but being with you helps me not to smoke. And so I said, well, I don't want to throw away what seems like a very nice person because they smoke, and I've never really been around smoking much in my life. And so we continued to go on and go out, and our relationship, you know, continued to go on. And, you know, then it really dawned on me one day. I guess I lost my father young and my ex-wife. I lost my father-in-law young, and I was very close to him. Dawned on me one day, hey, I could lose Karen to smoking. And people don't realize how controlling nicotine is. It's like, just in the short term, I mean, she makes excuses to leave like every 3 or 4 hours because we've never spent a whole day together, hardly ever, because she has to go smoke. And she makes excuses and tries to, she's very nice to not do it around me. We've had several talks about it, and now I've tried to be very sweet about it and say I realize, you know, and try to give her resources and try to do things, but it's really kind of coming down to like either we've got to do something about this because I can't see being with you long term if this continues to be part of our life, because for the short term and the long term, I don't want to lose her, but I don't want to lose her. And every time they say, when you talk to a smoker, don't, and I try not to be nagging, but it's just like, they'll quit in their own time. Well, what if her own time is 10 years from now? And I can't make a commitment to you because I need you to make a commitment to me to be a healthy person.
So you want help trying to convince her to stop smoking?
Well, you convince her something because I'm actually going to see another therapist. I'll tell you, get your guys', but I'm spending $60, $120 a month and I don't even smoke.
Well, what do you guys think?
There's a financial cost, but then one of the things, if you can find some videos that show what happens when people get emphysema from it and the terrible way that they die, it's pretty frightening. I would pull out all the stops and say make it an either or. Either this ends, you get a control of it, or we're done.
Fred, has she?
I'm kind of.
Has she tried to stop before?
She kind of makes sort of. She says to me, I mean, I've researched all kinds of different ways.
Yeah.
She goes, you know, I smoke to relieve stress. And she goes, I know it doesn't do anything for me. I know what it does is it just gives you that hit of nicotine that your body's wanting.
Right.
And she goes, I know it doesn't. My problems are still there when I get back.
Okay.
It's not like they've gone away. My son still is the way he is. My job's still the way it is.
So she's using smoking to cope with life. Instead of developing, instead of developing other ways to cope with life or having to come to terms with loss and the imperfections of life and that we can't control other people. So I'm wondering, would she be willing to go to therapy to look at her issues?
You know what? That's part of it. I know part of it's nicotine and part of it's just like, you know how powerful it is because even when her first husband had the affair and walked out on her and she didn't have any money, you know, even when you were on food stamps, you smoked. That's how precious it is to you. Your son starts to vape and you still smoke.
I understand that. I understand that. That it becomes like it hijacks the brain and makes her think that she can't live without it. And so that's the glue.
Yeah, that's exactly
smoking
it.
Is the glue that holds her together. But what I'm suggesting, instead of just taking away the glue or this thing that she thinks she can't live without, what if you started by let's have you go and talk about the things that drive you to smoke, in a sense.
Other ways of coping with the stress.
Yeah. Let's go talk about the stress. Let's go talk about the losses. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
She needs to deal with her anxiety before she's going to be willing to give up the smoking. And then it's going to be really, really hard. But in a supportive environment where she feels like she has some things she can hold on to, she might be more apt to let go of the smoking. But you can't just take this.
Yeah.
I think with this addiction and what you're describing with her, you can't just take it away and have her floundering. She feels like she'll be lost and floundering.
And she will for a while.
Yeah.
That's the way a lot of smokers feel is they feel like, what will I do for my crutch?
Right, right. So we need her to transfer that to trusted people, like a therapist.
I wonder what it is where some people do quit cold turkey.
Yeah, people do.
I know
they
can't.
It's a mindset. It's like anything. It's like with food or anything. You have to get in a mindset where you finally realize that, life is better without it.
Both my parents quit cold turkey.
She told me, she goes, I know I'm a drug addict. My son came home several years ago when he was a little kid in like maybe middle school and said, Mom, you're a drug addict. And she did turn to me one day when we were talking. She says, oh, I know I'm a drug addict.
So I think also 12-step groups would be great for her.
Except a lot of times in 12-step groups.
And they smoke. They smoke.
They smoke. That's their substitute addiction.
Yeah.
But play the different aspects of it, the health aspect, the companionship aspect, the coping with stress aspect, but get her into counseling with somebody who can help her face those things and deal with them differently. There's a habitual
Because it does speak to how she deals with relationship, too, and that's the part that you're concerned about.
Yeah. Well, Fred, thank you for the call. What book should we send?
Take Your Life Back?
understanding and loving a person with
alcohol oh, there you go.
Drug addiction.
Okay, yeah, we're going to do that.
Because it's similar, huh?
Fred, thank you so much for your call. I want to move on here and talk to Mary in Philadelphia, PA. She listens on WFIL. Hello, Mary. How can we help you?
Holy. Oh, I'm here. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, we're here, too.
We're here, too.
Hi, Mary.
How can we help you today?
Okay, I have a question. This is my third marriage and my husband's first marriage. We have one child together, and I have a son from a previous marriage. Well, I did not put our money together because I always sensed that there was something off with him. Anyway, so I find out he's controlling. He has a very explosive personality, confrontational. If I say he's not nice, he says you're not nice. He's not wrong, so he's never wrong. And he has cursed me out in front of the kids. And what I wanted to find out, because I know that Christian, I am a Christian. I know that I should not have had the money separate, but it's not my first rodeo. So I felt like I needed to do that, and I find that it's a good thing.
So what's your question?
But now I feel like I'm in a financial pinch, and I'm asking for more help, more money from him to pitch in.
You both work?
He's telling me, well, you wanted 50-50, so...
Sorry, you both are working, is that right?
Huh?
Are you both working?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so he's saying you asked for this, right? And he's reminding you of that now that it's difficult.
Yeah.
Instead of having compassion there. So my hunch is he was really hurt by that and felt like you didn't trust him, which the trust issues, you know, granted, third marriage, that makes sense. The trust issues are on your part. They're not really about him per se. But at the same time, you didn't trust him.
Right.
Right? And that's what he's felt from you. So there's that separation in the marriage, which it's a marital issue that I think, you know, it sounds like it's time to maybe dig into some of those marital issues.
It's interesting how money plays a symbolic role in marriage and remarriage especially. Because it's whoever has the money has the power, and you've tried to divide the power, and he's rebelling against that, and you're standing your ground, and it's an impasse. You probably need some help to get past it, Mary, because of all the emotion that are attached to it now, and get into counseling together to talk about the power struggle within the marriage and the resentments that have been developed over the years, and clear the deck and start over.
Right. And I think you can tell him that you realize that maybe unfairly you didn't trust him and that you have some trust issues. And would he go with you to work on those issues that have been brought into now your marriage with him?
Mm-hmm. Great idea.
And what about what I have the thing is with his personality, like that's one issue. But I would love to leave the marriage. I've been with him now for 7 years. He's slept in the living room. I sleep in the bedroom, and that's how it's been since the beginning. It's
seriously?
Been very the oddest relationship I've been in.
So why wouldn't you want to go work on that relationship?
Yeah, why have you waited this long to work on it?
I think because I'm older than him. I'm like 10 years older. And when I had our son, I was in my 40s, early 40s. And so I was exhausted. And I also was dealing with my other son's father, who's also very demanding and controlling.
So you picked the same kind of guys.
Tired.
Yeah. Okay. So you didn't deal with things, but now.
No. So I just basically I tried to handle it like my son's not happy. My oldest son isn't happy with the relationship because he sees he doesn't do anything at home, but outside he's like this great guy.
Right. Okay. So, but yeah. So in the home, there's unhappiness. So Mary, I think before you decide to leave, because you've been that route several times, I think you need to dig in and work on this relationship and see, you know, your part in it and see if it's salvageable before you throw in the towel.
And I think that we maybe ought to send her How We Love.
Yeah, I think that would be
really
great.
I think that would be a good book to send to you, Mary. And we sure appreciate your phone call. We'll be praying that you can dig into it and restore that marriage the way that God wants it to be.
God would want you to.
Yeah,
the way they thought it would be.
That would be a better example for your son than just, okay, we're going to bail now because we haven't really worked on it.
We'll be back right after this.
We knew our marriage was broken, but we didn't know how to fix it.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Dallas September 21st to the 23rd.
It has transformed our lives, our marriage. You have reached our home. You have helped transform our lives.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
And New Life's group leaders will help you focus on the area that will benefit your marriage most. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
Thank you for giving us a pathway where we can humble ourselves and say, Lord, we need help. Help us fix it. And we thank you for that.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live. This is Terry McIntosh, and I want to remind you of several ways you can catch New Life Live if you miss us here on the radio. All of our shows are archived online at newlife.com, so you can listen at your convenience, and you can see what questions were asked on each program. New Life Live is also available as a podcast and in the New Life Live app, so you can listen on the go. And you can stream us live every day at 10 a.m. Pacific time at newlife.com. And if you'd like to be baptized in the Jordan River, New Life is returning to Israel on March 16th through the 26th. Now, whether you've been before or this will be your first time, it's an amazing experience. You'll have the opportunity to see the Garden of Gethsemane, walk the steps Jesus walked in the old city of Jerusalem, visit the empty tomb, and a whole lot more. And the radio hosts will be giving talks each day to help you apply God's truth to your life. If you want more information or to register, just visit newlife.com or call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Larry, back to you.
Okay, and about the Israel trip, we have a super early bird special that ends today. It's $200 off each person that you sign up to go, but it's only through today. So if you want to go to Israel, you can get a good deal signing up today.
It's an awesome trip.
Oh, it's an amazing trip. We are going to go and talk with Renee Where is Renee? Line 7. Oops. Terry, help me out. There we go. Okay. Hi, Renee. She's in Dallas, Texas. Listens on the Word, KWRD. How can we help you today?
Hi. I'm calling because my husband initiated a divorce that I agreed with. Just keep the peace between us because it was getting pretty bad. There's a lot of trust issues that were in the marriage and a lot of hostilities towards the end. And what I'm dealing with now is still wanting to be married to him and wanting to work it out. The divorce is not final. I still have hope that there can be restitution. But he has admitted to me that he is stuck in resentment towards me. And I'm going to, like, a divorce recovery program and, like, celebrate recovery programs to better myself and to own my part in it. But in the meantime, how do I not take on the guilt of him blaming me for everything and feeling as if everything is my fault, like not taking on his stuff? Because he is still very bitter and he's being kind of mean, and I don't want to be reactive to that, and I want to work this out, but I don't know what to do in the meantime other than continue to pray and go to classes and trust the Lord. Is there anything that I can do, like, to help the situation?
Well, is he open to going to counseling?
He says that he found the Celebrate Recovery Bible, and that he seems very interested in that process. But I think he mentioned to me that he's very, he doesn't want to be vulnerable. He's scared to be vulnerable. He tried Celebrate Recovery once and didn't feel comfortable, and he quit going, like, because he's just very vulnerable. I guess he doesn't want to feel that way. And he's about a man of order, and he keeps blaming me and saying that, you know, if I were to get into order, he'd have no problem being married. And but sometimes I think that he's out of order.
What kind of order?
So, the man is the head, and that he says I'm contentious. He says that I criticize a lot. And I feel like I have, yes, I will own that. But in a sense where he's so sensitive that even if I tell him, I don't like it when you do that, would you please stop? It becomes an argument. It becomes like a battle. Like, he calls me the enemy. He treats me like I'm the enemy. Like, I'm not his friend, or I'm out to get him, or, you know, bring him down like Jezebel did Ahab, you know.
So
there's a lot of spiritual stuff going on, and I don't know how to, like, cipher through it all and what to own and what not to own.
Yeah. Does he have a lot of hurts from the past, Renee?
He does. He says that he's got, as a matter of fact, he's got your book, the Take Your Life Back.
Uh-huh. Good.
He's working through that. Like, I think that he's open, but it's like right whenever
he's scared.
He gets to that point where it's starting to, like, really hurt, or he just stops.
Yeah.
And he gets scared.
He gets really scared, I think. I'm wondering, our Take Your Life Back conference.
Well, it's not till next year.
We're doing Intimacy and Marriage right there in Dallas in September. And
that would be
the best. Can't speak highly enough. You guys are prime candidates to have a marriage turnaround because of that workshop.
And there are couples who come in a far worse situation than what you just described, as bad as what you described is, and they turn it around. It's a miracle weekend.
We've had wives bring their husbands dragging and screaming, and the husbands are singing praises by the end of the weekend. So I wouldn't.
Yeah, I will share with you and own my part that I can be very reactive, and I can cut with my word.
Well, okay. This workshop's for you too, not just for him.
Yeah. Right.
So someone like him then is going to recoil from that because he's like a scared kitten, and you can't charge a kitten.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he means by order, that you got to somehow get control of those things. So that's part of the weekend.
I think we ought to send her How We Love as well, because if you come to that weekend and you guys have looked at that book together, that'll get you ready. We'll be back right after this.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, welcome back. Before we go to our next caller, I just want to ask you folks to please support New Life. And I have a confession to make. As much as you get tired of hearing me ask, I get tired of asking. And I wish I didn't have to. But I know that when we ask, people respond. And there's a lot of...
We're reminding people of the need, right?
We are. And July was a really tough month. And we didn't meet what we had hoped in some of our goals and the amounts we needed. It's not over. A couple of you could surprise us with something today. But I'm just asking you, please don't forget us in these, but especially in these summer months. It's tough during the summer. I know folks are out and about doing other things. Listenership may be down. I don't know. Maybe you hear it on podcast in 2 or 3 weeks. But I'm just asking, would you please send a gift and support? And would you please consider joining Club New Life? Club New Life is our monthly giving program. I'd ask you to call our 800 New Life number. They'll tell you the benefits. We got great thank you gift, and we got the video library. And it's really good stuff. I tell people we need to have the rabbit in the hare in this fundraising appeal that we do. We need some folks to make some gifts to really help us, give us a punch. And we need that steady growth of our Club New Life, just adding people all the time. We needed to add 6 people a day. Yesterday, we needed the last couple of days to have 12 or 13 people each day. So we need you to join Club New Life today. And if you could do that, that would be great. So we're going to go back to the phones. We're going to go talk to Ami in Bowie, Maryland, and she listens on Weva. And hello, is it Ami? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes.
Okay, well, thanks for calling. How can we help you?
Hi, I'm calling I'll say the question and then I'll give a little background. My question is, can a lack of humility in an older sibling trigger narcissistically abusive behavior in a younger sibling. And I'm asking because there's been a long issue with myself and my younger sister. I really think it hurt her issue within our family structure, but it took me a long time to realize that it was abusive. And based on a conversation with my father, he said that I wasn't humble enough when I corrected her for different things, and that if I want her to respect me, I need to, just be more humble. So I wanted to know, get wisdom mm-hmm. on that.
So you're the older sibling.
I did a lot of correction.
You're the older sibling, Ami? Is that what you're
saying? I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest.
Girl.
So you're the.
I'm actually a middle child. So.
Oh, okay.
The oldest girl.
But the oldest girl.
I seem to take on a lot of responsibility, yes.
Okay. And you're confessing lack of humility here?
Or you're being told that?
Yeah.
I'm being told it's she doesn't respect me because there's a lack of humility in times when I corrected her.
Mm-hmm.
What's the age difference?
There's a 5-year age gap.
Okay.
Were you like trying to mother her or parent her as you were growing up?
I think in some ways, but
both parents.
I didn't go out of my way to. I didn't go out.
No, it's kind of a natural thing for an older sister.
Right.
Take under her wing the younger sister.
Well, but were your parents involved? I mean, was this a situation where you had to step in, or is it just typical sibling interaction?
I think at one point I thought it was typical sibling interaction, but based on what I remember, I feel like they reached out to me for help because they didn't have any more control mm. over her, and they kept saying, "Well, you talk to her.
Your parents?
She listens to you."
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
And then eventually it was no longer she listens to you, and it became I'm now the number one enemy. And so I just feel like this is just how I feel. I just feel like everything now is, now it's you guys' relationship issue. But when I really go back to the beginning of it, it wasn't our relationship issue. It was you guys were no longer able to have control over her. Now I'm just the target of all this hate. It's just what it feels
so,
like.
So kind of from both ends, you're getting it from your parents now and your sister? Are you still there, Ami? We may have lost
her. She's dropped.
Okay, so because what it's sounding like, it's almost like she's displaced as the parent now. The parents are feeling powerless, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, here, older sister, you're closer to her age, you help her, and now she's getting blamed like parents get blamed.
Yeah.
You know, welcome to parenthood.
She became the substitute mom.
Right, right, exactly. And I would think, you know, a sister 5 years younger, you know, just by virtue of the position is going to look up to the older sister, but maybe that older sister ends up on a pedestal a bit and is, you know, the one that maybe does everything right while this one is doing everything wrong. So I think there's some inherent resentment that can happen in a situation like that.
Yeah, and one of the things that I would suggest she do is it's in some situation where it's appropriate to apologize for trying to be her parent and
right.
just like to be a sister
mm-hmm.
and leave it at that with whatever response the sister gives. And because she was asking if that can lead to narcissism. Usually that's the mother that is mm-hmm. at the root of a narcissistic tendency. And so if she becomes a substitute mother, that means, she could have fed into that, but she had no knowledge of that. She was asked to be a mother figure way before she was
right, and that's usually not recognizing the child's needs and it being all about the mother.
All about the mother. And
right.
The mother kind of withdrew.
Mm-hmm.
And she tried to fill the gap. And
right. I think, you know, it's kind of like saying to Ami, you were too perfect, so now you need to be humble and make her feel better by not being so perfect. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a bit unfair to put on Ami. I mean,
they're continuing what they started
yeah,
earlier.
They are.
Help us out here.
Yeah, you need to own this. You need to do this so that she'll be better. And that's not the problem. I think the younger sister has to own her part. And Ami should only own what is truly her part, not take it on for the family.
Do you ever see siblings come in for counsel, like instead of husband and wife, brother and sister, two sisters?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, we see families.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. There's a lot of issues, you know. I mean, and this five-year gap, I've seen this before with sisters, where there's absolute hate between these sisters. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's the older one for the younger one even being born and taking their spot, right? You know, I've seen that before.
So that might be one of the things they should do instead of Ami feeling like she has to
like she's got to rescue the family again. Yeah. And the parents are telling her, you do it.
Parents,
it's on you.
The parents need to be involved in that process because they're at the core of it.
I think that they need to apologize to both the girls.
For their inadequacy as a parent.
Right, for not knowing what to do and putting it off on the sister.
Well, maybe they can call us next week.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, Ami, we hope you're listening.
Gosh.
Sorry we lost you.
Yeah. Tell you what, we have time to get a question in before the break probably. And I'm going to look at the board real quick. Let's talk to Richard in L.A. Richard listens. Oh, he's a first-time caller. Hello, Richard.
Hi, first time caller.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank goodness for the internet. I've been separated from my wife quite a few years, and we were going to get a divorce, and finally decided that we would try and work things out.
Oh.
She's put a condition on me. Her daughter's 20. She lives with her daughter and her daughter's boyfriend. They're not married. And I am not feeling good about having under the same roof a couple, even though it's her daughter, that they're not married. What they're doing is considered adultery, fornication. I mean, I need somebody to straighten my head out on my thought processes there.
Okay, so you're not feeling good about your wife living with them?
No, if they reconcile.
Oh, if they reconcile. Oh, why would they move with you? It sounds like she's living there because she's not living with you.
She's living there. She's very close to her daughter beyond most of it, more than normal, and she's very, very attached to her.
Okay.
And she says, well, we get back together, my daughter comes with me, and so does her boyfriend. And I knew it wasn't the right time to tell her, well, I don't know that Jesus would like that. So I'm going to talk to her again, but right now I'm not feeling very good about having an unmarried couple under the same roof.
Well, you got to be careful, Richard.
So hold on, and we'll have some input for you when we come back
from right after the break. So hold on, you're listening to New Life Live. We're talking to Richard.
Hi, this is Steve Arterman from New Life Live. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special, and the teaching is rich. The experience is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th.
When I went to Israel, my whole view of the Bible absolutely changed. I had a reference point to visualize. Yeah.
We're going
to
go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more.
For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me because I've been there.
You will not be disappointed in Israel. It is a special, rich, rich time. If you want more information on Israel, I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We're talking to Richard, and Richard has a situation that he and his wife are reconciling. She wants to move back home, but she wants to bring... Now, Richard, is it the two of your daughter or just her daughter?
Just her daughter.
And his boyfriend.
From a prior marriage.
Okay. So Jill's got some strong thoughts.
So, Richard, yes, I think focusing on the daughter is a distraction. That, you know, I agree with you, but I think that's not where you go with this. I think both of you, it sounds like, are using the daughter as kind of a buffer instead of looking at your relationship. To me, if you've been separated and you're going to try to reconcile and come back together, it needs to be just the two of you.
Right.
The daughter's 25. She's old enough to live out on her own and make her own choices, whether you like them or not. Right? And so, you know, you guys can live next door to each other or down the street from each other. Or, you know, they can still be close. But I think her having a condition that she brings the daughter... That's not about really reconciling.
That's how she's protecting herself in case it doesn't work. And just like he's protecting himself, you're protecting yourself, Richard, because you want to make an issue out of the daughter living with the boyfriend. Both of you are hedging your bets about getting back together, and you need to focus only on the marriage relationship with your ex and check out that and see if there's anything that's worth saving there.
Okay. Richard, thank you for your call. Any book come to mind real quickly before we take one quick last call for Richard?
How We Love?
Yeah, How We Love would probably be really good for Richard. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to take Charles. Charles is in Lexington, Kentucky, listens on Sirius XM. Charles, we don't have a lot of time, but we wanted to get your call in. How can we help you?
Well, I recently quit drinking 3 days ago because I made a huge mess of my life, and I knew that I didn't have a choice but to abstain completely. And so I'm 3 days removed from any sort of drinking of any alcohol, and I'm sure there's a lot of biochemical, physical manifestations of detoxification. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, you know, just how long does it take to get your brain activity back to some baseline in your body to feel normal again, because that plus the crushing weight of some of the things that I've created in my life, because I've been drinking for so long, I just have an immense amount of anxiety about things. And I'm sure I rest assured that I can sort all this out. I need a little reprieve or a respite from some of the anxiety in my life. And I'm just kind of wondering, like, how long does this take once you quit to sort of regain some normalcy?
Well, you said that you've been drinking for a long time, and so the recovery is going to take quite a while before you get back to ground level. But you can't do it alone. If you're going to try to do this alone,
just stopping, you're not going to be able to do it.
You'll blow it, because you've got to get some accountability. You got to get into AA. You got to get into Celebrate Recovery or Life Recovery.
Well, these are the things that help with the anxiety, okay? You know, you're used to having a quick fix, and all alcoholics and addicts think that if they experience any discomfort at all, that something is terribly wrong. And really, all of us deal with discomfort all mm-hmm. the time, right? But we learn how to manage right. it.
Yeah, you got to learn new ways to manage it.
Right. So going to AA and 12-step meetings helps you do something with the anxiety. You hear how other people are doing. You hear people who are, you know, several steps ahead of you, and you're seeing that they survived it, and you're hearing how they survived it and how they've become successful, and that helps to contain you emotionally and helps to bring down the anxiety instead of you sitting home.
Well, I hear you. I hear you, but I've got a problem with that.
Okay.
And that is, I was going to AA meetings, and they were fine, and I think they were actually helping, and I had achieved some level of sobriety. However, one of the members in AA, and I thought this was really taboo, asked me for a large sum of money. And when I couldn't assist them, they started berating me and shaming me via text and phone calls and things like that. So I had to block them. And now, I mean, and this person is a regular, frequent visitor to tons of AA meetings. I just don't even want to see him.
Well, he's not typical of AA because
no.
he probably hits and runs.
But there's the whole gamut of people at AA, and you have some very sick people as well as some people that have some strong recovery. And so you kind of have to weed through that and use the group to disarm that situation.
All right. Just avoid them, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, is that going to be the excuse for you not to recover? You know, it's like
I'm sure there are alternatives. I was asking more for alternatives than just making an excuse.
So alternatives to AA? Well, I think...
Are there?
There's Celebrate Recovery. There's Life Recovery Groups.
If you stay on the line, we can give you some
Recovery
Groups.
You know, and you might also want to meet with a medical doctor, too, as you go through this. Sometimes people need that, and that can be really helpful.
And sometimes counseling with somebody who understands alcoholism is
right.
a help as well.
You need to bring in things from all angles to help to hold you, Charles, because this is a tough process. But you don't want to, I guess my point is you don't want to let excuses get in the way of your recovery.
Certainly.
We're going to send you a Life Recovery Bible, which takes the 12 steps and puts them in a biblical context. And it's been helpful to millions of people who are struggling with alcoholism and drug addiction.
Thank you for the call, Charles. Dave, you have a piece of scripture you'd like to share with us as we close.
Well, I got to find it now. That well, in Psalm 86, David says, "Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your truths. Grant me purity of heart." And some of the translations talk about an undivided heart. "So that I can truly honor you, honor God. With all my heart I will praise you, O God, my Lord. I will give glory to your name forever." And regardless of what our circumstances are, David has just expounded on his circumstances, which weren't good.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the way he always turns it around and gets back to the basics and affirms the basic truths that are there. But I love that. "Teach me your ways, O
mm-hmm.
Lord."
Mm-hmm. That's where our hope is.
The last couple of months I've been reading through the Psalms, and the variety mm-hmm. is amazing, from the lowest of lows to the highest
right.
of highs.
Yeah, and just a couple of Psalms before, Asaph, he's giving the history of Israel, and I just recently read that for the first time, I think, and noticed that That was in the Psalms too, and they consecrated the story so that the story would never be lost.
Now, one of the Psalm 121 was a call to worship that a pastor, one of my favorite pastors of old, used to give, and that was, "I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth." That's, you know, we want you to be looking to the Lord for your help. And I believe that the Lord is directing you to New Life in many times and many ways, because God delivers help through people. It's not just, "I'm going to pray about it and this is going to go away." And we've discovered that a long time ago, and we want to present to you the best help we can. We have the best counselors in the world on this radio program, in our counseling network, at our workshops, providing resources, and we hope you'll support that. Just remember, your help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. We will be back on this program tomorrow, and we'll look forward to seeing you then. So have a good day.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.